Welcome to another broadcast feature right here on Real Prospector. Today we'll open up with Robert Palmer, founder, president of the Robert Palmer family of companies. Then our featured guest is going to be Tony Galarza. Tony is recognized throughout real estate for his ability to be totally involved with his community. I mean, we're talking about clubs, groups, organizations, Little League, you name it. Thereby, when the neighborhood, when the community looks to somebody for real estate, who do they pick? They pick their friend, their involved community leader, Tony Galarza. Later in the show, Matt Hodge will join us. Many of you remember Matt from a few weeks ago being on the show. But today, we'll talk about the increased use of social media in the world of real estate. So let's get started. Robert, you've now come to a stage in your career after leading a very successful group of companies under the RP Funding and Robert Palmer brand. You're now to a point in your career where it's all about empowering your community, getting more involved in your community, working with the Better Business Bureau and a lot of great charities, a lot of great public service groups. And a lot of what you do is you empower people to become better managers of their money.
And so that's, you know, that's really why I'm here. That's why I'm here to do this is I want to give back. You know, I've been blessed. RP Funding is extremely successful. You know, we're one of the largest lenders in Florida now. I'm not owned by a bank. I don't have this group of shareholders. It's just me, you know, and I've been blessed. And so it's important to me to give back through education, but also through great deals. And, you know, so as we continue to do the show and kind of try to educate people on what's going on. And you know, we're going to look at student loans. We're going to look at credit cards. We're really going to dig into all things financial. Credit scores is another big one. This is something we've got to teach in schools. So many people do not understand how credit scores work, how credit reports work until it's too late, right? You know, all of a sudden you're trying to buy that new car, or you're trying to get a student loan for your kids, or, you know, trying to get that new credit card, or you're trying to buy a home. And now for the first time ever, you're hearing you have this thing called a credit score, you know, and you're trying to figure out what it means.
And you're shocked.
You're like, 580, is that good or bad? It's bad. You know, 740, that's good. But nobody knows, you know, and what goes into that number? Where does it come from? You know, why do I have this number and he has that number? And I think we all like have this idea of like, well, I have bad credit. Well, what does that mean even? You know, bad credit, is that because you don't pay your bills? Is it because you've maxed out your bills? You know, a lot of people don't even understand really what bad credit means, you know, and there's people that think by being only 1 or 2 days late, it'll give them bad credit. When in reality, nothing reflects negatively on your credit report until you've gone 30 days late. You know, so there's all these things that we're not taught. And, you know, for me to come in here and share it with people, tell them about it, share my life experiences. You know, I look at a lot of credit reports. You know, I see a lot of what gets people in trouble. You know, when people call here and they want to buy a home and they call into RP Funding and they're trying to get pre-approved and they don't have good credit, you know, and we talk to them about what happened, you know, and a lot of times it is. They got roped into something. And usually for some people, it starts young. You know, they go off to college. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they're that freshman year at school and there's the pretty girl at the tent offering them the credit card. And, you know, they get the T-shirt and they get the card with the school logo on it. And next thing you know, they feel like they've got $3,000 in free money.
Uh-huh.
Right. Because, you know, you go out there and charge this thing and nothing's coming out of your bank account. And the first minimum payment's stupid low, like $15. You're like, oh, this is easy. And the next thing you know, you're out buying drinks for all your buddies, you know, you're buying, you got the new flat screen TV in your room, and all of a sudden that thing hits max, $3,000 gone, and you're like, oh, I got to pay that back, you know, yeah. And plus interest, plus 30% interest. I mean, come on. And so, you know, we see, and the other thing is student loans. You know, a lot of people get really hung up on student loans. And, you know, the important thing there is to really be conscious of how much you're borrowing. You know, and what's the education you're getting for it? You know, I'm a big advocate. If you do have to borrow a lot of the money for your college, I'm a big advocate of community college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can save a lot of money by doing that 2 years at the community college, and you know, same quality of education. The online guys are the most expensive. They're some of the worst. You know, and again, they're using the same types of tactics. You know, it was funny when the whole mortgage subprime crash happened, Rob. A lot of the guys that were selling subprime mortgages went to the student loan, you know, to like the for-profit college industry because they could make the same kind of money.
Oh, yeah.
And so there was this big investigation because it's, you know, the student loans are fairly guaranteed. And so when they were all defaulting at these certain for-profit colleges, they launched these investigations for what was going on. and that they found that the sales manual for some of these for-profit colleges was, I mean, they were using the pain cycle, which is this kind of scummy sales technique where you really play on people's fear. They were giving away free laptops, you know, out this $40,000 student loan and we'll give you a free laptop. You know, I mean, just again, this is that smoke and mirrors. This is that, you know, taking advantage of people that financial services and companies are known for. So, mm-hmm. And we're here to open that up. We're here to make all that a little more transparent in life.
And as we move on with Real Prospector Radio, welcoming Tony Galarza of Keller Williams, Advantage One Realty. How long have you been in real estate, Tony?
Well, thanks for having me, Rob. Been in real estate 8 years now with Keller Williams Realty out in Waterford Lakes.
So you started in some pretty rough times, my friend.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
How did you make that decision? You know, housing wasn't exactly jumping off the curb at that time, but actually people were jumping off their roofs. But what motivated you to say, you know what, I'm getting in? Was it the light on the horizon or at the end of the tunnel?
To be honest with you, it was ignorance. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Started off in the restaurant industry, and my wife got into leasing homes and leasing properties, and she decided to get her real estate license and said, hey, I want you to join with me in doing this. And I said, well, I'm kind of happy where I'm at, but we just had a newborn and decided, you know, we needed more time with the baby and such. So I jumped into it. And to be honest with you, when we jumped into it, we were taught by somebody very, very influential in the industry on how to build a foundation in real estate. And we kind of stuck with that. And that has allowed us to transition no matter what market we're in, down market, up market, you know, buyer's market, seller's market. So that's what's kind of kept us going. So we've never had that big hit.
Did anything from the food industry help you in getting into real estate?
Oh, I'll tell you, man, service is key. You know, it's the customer service and that relationship building has been pivotal in my transition into real estate. And being in it 8 years, it's been hand in hand. It's worked together.
One of the topics we've talked about on Real Prospector with our top-notch realtors, one of them is the fact that, you know, you can go into a real estate office and you can get your little desk and you can hang up your license and then you can go fish or sail or go on a cruise and try to sell a house a quarter.
Right.
But then there's the people like yourself, the people like Matt Hodge, who we talked to before, and who's going to join us later on in the show, by the way, folks. And you guys are intense. I mean, you are thinking and working the real estate market. Literally, you're waking hours.
Oh, absolutely. This is a full-time gig. I mean, this is not, you know, you Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. You're going all day long. You know, to be honest with you, it's just like any type of relationship building or service-based industry. You know, I can walk into a Publix and be buying a gallon of milk and speaking with somebody who just randomly said that they were looking to sell their home. And right there, it's building a relationship and having that trust with them. And also being big in our community, that's really helped a lot as well. So yeah, it's a 365, 24-hour mm-hmm. day type of thing.
I would think it's also got to be a major, major task to figure out who in the related industries you can trust. Because you can do the best job in the world. Matt can do the best job in the world. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have a mortgage company that can give you some kind of a pre-approval that you can stand on, and if you don't have a title company that can close, and you don't have attorneys that are flittering around out there saying, I can't get to you, you got a problem.
Absolutely. Well, to be honest with you, we combated that with the whole essence of building a real estate team. So now not only do we have a team of my wife and I, but also buyer's agents and other real estate agents on our team, and also administrative help that help with all facets of the industry and the transaction. But we've also had to bring in partners in regards to lenders. RP is a big example of that. Mm-hmm. So title companies, even inspectors, you know, survey companies, you have to have the right people in the right place in order to do this job, especially nowadays.
You go to Publix. You're in line. Mm-hmm. They start a conversation.
Sure.
The people in the nice couple say, yeah, you know, we're kind of thinking about selling our home, or, you know, we're kind of thinking maybe, Tony, about buying a home. Mm-hmm. And we'd like an agent in that. Mm-hmm. But we've got an agent. See where Priscilla works right next door at the Walmart.
Sure.
Well, the woman she works with, her husband, is a realtor. Why do people fall for that?
You know, it's very common. It's the same reason why people fall with, my cousin's uncle's aunt happens to be a real estate agent, and we're going to go that way through it, and come to find out that individual does work for another company or does this part-time. It never ends up working. You know, we actually call it a little bit of a joke, is that, you know, we specialize in selling the homes that don't sell, you know, or being the agents
like that
come in and, you know, and kind of rescue it. You know, and that's just it's one of those things. It's just like if you're going to a doctor or you're getting a lawyer. You know, you have to have somebody that's dedicated
right.
to this industry. Otherwise, you're getting part-time work.
So it's not just the one real estate agent doing it all on their own anymore. You know, catching the listing, writing the listing, doing everything,
sure.
putting the hole in the ground, sinking the sign,
sure, yeah,
dropping by the MLS guy, running down to the magazine. Here, I took this picture with my cell phone, here's the listing. Okay, so it's more of a team approach. Mm-hmm. And when you go to Keller Williams, one of the first things you learn when you meet one of their people out and about, very community-involved company, by the way, but when you meet some of those people, they always say, "Hi, I'm Rob Newton, Team Missouri,"
sure.
or "Team John," or whatever it is. Keller Williams kind of took this whole team effort and carries it into a science.
Absolutely. Keller Williams is agent-centric. That's something you learn when you join Keller Williams. So they really focus on the agent and want the agent to build their own business, their own brand. Obviously, they still want KW attached to it, and by law, you have to do that. But honestly, that's all he cares about when I say he as in Gary Keller. He wants you to build your brand. So we decided we're going to follow that trend and start a team. Having a team is like 10 for one. 10 for the price of one. You just named almost every piece, and I'm sure there's a lot more as well, but the photos, the marketing, putting the sign in the ground. I can't tell you the last time I've done a lot of those things because that's not what I do. That's not my specialty. That's not why people actually hire me.
Mm-hmm.
So, my team's name is KG Realtor Group. The KG is my son's initials, but we started our team, KG Realtor Group, and we're underneath the big umbrella of Keller Williams, but that's exactly why we did it.
And see, that's such an important brand.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, it's very apparent to any learned listener out there, mm-hmm. and I know I'm kind of opening up old wounds in the industry,
sure.
but there have been companies that came along with a really great-looking sign mm-hmm. and a great-sounding commercial, but what happened? They just didn't follow through?
Sure, absolutely. And I will say I have a good-looking sign, but we also, you know, we back it up with the service
yeah.
and what we do as well. You know, we've been lucky enough and diligent enough to be on the top 1% in the board, which is Orlando Regional Real Estate Association, a realtor association. So that's been amazing. We've always been in the top 5% of our offices, and we have a group of offices that are managed by one broker. So we've done something right, including, you know, my beautiful face on that sign out there.
Had to do it right. And
that's
one of the things I notice is the people that are very much ahead in the real estate industry and Robert in the mortgage industry, these are people who don't look at the clock.
Oh,
they're
no.
not clock watchers, they're clock makers.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a breakfast at 6 a.m. that they can go to and get more contacts, spread more knowledge
sure.
about the industry, whatever facet of that industry there is, or when there's a late in the afternoon interview with some radio guy, you know, out in Maitland, you all find the time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's continue with that. I want to talk about the fact that community involvement for realtors, I think, really came around in the past maybe 10 years and more so in the past 3 years.
Sure.
Okay. As the recovery of housing came along, it used to be, let's talk about pre-crash.
Okay.
You'd go to a ball game and you'd look out there at the banners mm-hmm. out on the outfield fence, and there was Rob Johnson Realty. Oh, isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. He backs the Little League. No, he paid $100 for a band.
Sure he did.
I mean, that's pretty much it. Somebody walks in, "Hey, my son's in Little League. I work for you. Give me $100. So, I mean, that was pretty much it.
Sure.
Okay. It was more, I think, back then of a realtor and high-notch agents being members of Kiwanis, being members of the Elks, being members of the Rotary. Totally nothing wrong with that because that's the best business people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they kind of drew the line there. You didn't see them doing the flag or carrying the chains at a football game.
Sure.
You didn't see them, you know, at a league game with the kids, and you just didn't see that.
Right.
And so one of the things that you are most favorable for and you're most known for is that Tony Galarza is out there in the community, not on the sidelines watching the community.
Absolutely.
Tell us about your community approach. How did that start?
Well, again, remember, and in the beginning of our segment here, I mentioned that I was taught by somebody in the very early stages of our career, how to build a foundation in real estate. And foundation in real estate, to me, is relationship building. You have to be able to know what traditional real estate is, what it's all about. So we've taken that approach and kept that approach. So we are, when I say we're traditional-based real agents, we don't go after what's shiny at the moment. We always stick to the grassroots of you know, knowing our neighbors, knowing our community, being involved with our community, and making a difference in our community. So, for instance, when we moved to Oviedo, about 4 years ago, one of my biggest things was I really wanted to, because Oviedo was such a community feel, you know, you pull in, I make a joke, we cross the sign that says city limits, and everybody knows you, you know, and they wave to you as soon as you leave, they don't look back, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but being in that community has allowed me to kind of see different opportunities. So, just recently, over the last year, I've became the president of Oviedo Babe Ruth Baseball League and Softball League, which has been huge. What a great opportunity for me to not only to give back to our community, but also and also for me to allow other people to know what I do, and for them to be able to, you know, see that opportunity, have that opportunity if they look to buy or sell a home. But then also in addition to that, we're involved in a lot of community events. Our children, we're big with our children in sports and such as well. So community, and also another thing we do is we give back to Second Harvest Food Bank every single year with our Red Day event, you know, which is another big piece of Keller Williams, our Red Day event. So, all together, it's exactly what we need to be doing with that foundation that we built with traditional-based real estate.
And I want to touch on something, mm-hmm. because people can fake that.
Sure.
But you live that.
Oh, absolutely. And
if you're talking to people in your community, it's not, oh, he gave us a $10,000 check and we haven't seen him since. You're there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important, especially when you're looking at Babe Ruth, mm-hmm. or you're looking at Special Olympics, you're looking at families.
Absolutely.
You're looking at the community, mm-hmm. right? That also has to help when somebody is coming in from outside. Hi, we live in Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, we live in Topeka, Kansas. Mm-hmm. We're coming down to the Orlando area because we really think this would be a great place to live.
Sure.
And, oh, by the way, I think my husband's going to go to work for Universal.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really hold their hand then,
absolutely.
And can help them with more than just, here's a house, let's do it, let's close, here's your keys, bye.
Yeah.
Because if you're community involved, you can help those people.
Well,
I noticed your son plays baseball.
Oh, absolutely.
Even the baseball thing. Oh, and you're thinking of working at Universal.
Yeah.
Is driving to work a hassle for you, mm-hmm. or could I find you something closer?
Absolutely. You know, that's a really good point you brought up. You know, if you think about it, a real estate agent that is actually involved with their community has a much different experience with their clients. So if I am showing somebody a home that's, let's just say, from another state, having the opportunity, which is very common with our team, having the opportunity to put our clients in the back of our car and actually tour them around and explain to them where they're at, explain to them what's around, what amenities there that they have in the community, and actually being knowing where you're going, not getting lost, you know, and that's a cool feeling, because then they look at you as actually an expert in this community, an expert in this.
I love the fact that you're identifying with the people, because I think we all remember if we moved from somewhere else. I mean, I moved here. I didn't know what the high-end grocery store was. I knew what it was in Kansas City.
Sure.
And I knew what it was in the Ozarks. Vast difference, by the way.
What's it in Kansas City?
Vast difference. I mean, but if you come down here, you can tour those people around, and they might look up and say, well, what is that Publix all about?
Right.
And you can
right.
explain, you know, their place in the community.
Sure.
There
sure.
are some national places. They're going to say, oh, honey, there's an Olive Garden. No, I'm glad they're closed.
Yeah.
But there also might be some places you pass by that you can say, well, you may not have heard of this up there in Topeka, Kansas, sure. but this is going to be one of the finer restaurants you're going to like.
Absolutely.
Or actually, if you're thinking about the schools, if your son really excels in football, mm-hmm. This school over here has had five guys go to the NFL in the last 6 years,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So you know that kind of stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. Just being a part of Oviedo Babe Ruth, Blake Bortles played there. You know, so that's a pretty neat thing.
It is pretty
you know?
Big.
So it's like there's just so much of that just right there. And again, just being in that community, be a part of it is exactly what is translate to real estate.
Do you find that post sale, and I'm talking about as much as a year out, somebody may still call you say, you know, we've been thinking about maybe putting a bottle brush in our yard. Do you think it's a good idea?
Listen, we get calls to come to their housewarming parties, their Christmas parties. We got Christmas cards from clients. You know, just before we got here today, my wife and I went around and drove around and handed out just little holiday thanks to a lot of our past clients, a lot of our core group of people, just to say thank you, because again, they're people that just give back to us as well. That is one of the definite perks. One of our closest friends that are now part of our team, we helped them help them buy a house when they moved here. Now they're one of our closest
wow.
friends.
Tony Galarz is with us, Keller Williams, Advantage One Realty. Great, great real estate. Very community involved, as you've been hearing. Can you give the folks all your contact information?
Absolutely. To reach us, we are The phone number you can reach us at is 407-429-2040. And our web address is www.kgrhomes.com.
Can we get move on the couch a little bit like tonight's show? Let's bring in Matt Hodge, who's been a featured guest before on the show. Matt, good to have you. You can stay right where you are, Tony.
Right.
We're going to kind of open it up to a little panel discussion here as we continue with Real Prospector. By the way, tell your friends about Real Prospector. You talk about a great site, lot of great insight, if you will, into the real estate industry, into housing, into getting your family involved in owning a home, maybe home number one, maybe sitting down with a good mortgage professional and a good real estate agent and moving on to owning two homes, three homes, four homes, and beyond. But one of the reasons I wanted to bring in Matt Hodge was what I'm seeing since I put my company now in the headquarters of RP Funding, where we're now using the studios, is I have seen a great, great metamorphosis, and we kind of touched on it. And that is the real estate industry at first, you put a sign in the front yard. Then somebody came along with MLS. It didn't take MLS long to catch on, and it's gone through some changes along with technology. Then somebody came out with a very well-known magazine, and you'd see that four-color magazine. You're like, wow, I can get my house in that? Well, that's kind of cool. And then I remember before the crash, as a broadcaster, I made a lot of money for cruises by being the talking house. Remember that? Pull up at the curb. Use this FM frequency. It went out about 100 feet.
Yeah.
And there was me telling you about the house.
Yep,
how cool is that? But now, coming out of the crash and accelerating into the technical generations, how do we get those millennials interested? How do we get people to notice us? You guys are sort of the captains of leading the way into a new territory, and that is the digital movement of technology with real estate. I mean, wow. Yeah. Who would have thought there'd have been any kind of kinship? I can see it in a social site. I can see it for scientists going back and forth. I can see it for people in the broadcast industry. But here's real estate, mainly depending on a sign in the front yard. But now it's so much more than that. So, Matt, how have you graduated to start using this? And I know you don't use it all.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I started real estate, I've been in real estate for about 4 years now. So I came in right probably at the birth when social media was really becoming more popular, and that was becoming an avenue to market homes. So I don't have a lot of experience with just only the sign. I like I said, came about a little bit later. But I use that. I think it's an extremely powerful tool. I know that Tony uses that as well, too. We were just talking about it a minute ago right before the show.
I would say, yeah, I'll chime in there. You know, I would say 80 to 90% of the people out there start their search on the internet. So if you're not on there, the last time I heard somebody say, when are you going to put my house in the home magazine? You know, what is that something that you do? It's funny. I haven't heard that. A couple years ago I did, but not anymore. Now it's, you know, what social media site are you going to put us on? Are we going to have an individual website for our homes? And how are people going to find us?
Right.
You know, 80, 90% starting on the internet. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. And getting being able to customize the information to get to those customers is really something that's different too, because before you would just blast it out there to some people who didn't care. But now you have the ability to filter that down to people who are interested in seeing that specific type of information, and it makes it more potent.
Well, I can think of the simplest way, and that would be for if I was a realtor, and it'd be Rob Newton Realtor instead of Rob Newton Radio on my personal Facebook page. And I could see that I'd put a picture of myself and the new owners of a home, mm-hmm. and we'd be standing in front of it with the keys and the sign and the dog and the kids, mm-hmm. and everybody would have that one perfect picture.
Sure.
Well, I'm looking at that, just that one generation flow of that's not only going to show the people who happen onto my site and my friends list, but now it's going to be part of Jim and Kathy Phillips, because they're going to put it on their site.
Right.
So that's just one generation, okay? But you're finding now that there are companies that have come along that are taking that to the moon.
Absolutely.
I mean, so far beyond. Mm-hmm. What are some of the, Tony Galarza, what are some of the things that you see on the horizon or are already being offered that just get you excited?
I take pride in the fact that I stick with what I know, and I do know traditional based real estate. And so a couple years ago, actually about 4 or 5 years ago, we decided, my wife and I, to hire a marketing team and to always have one, always have a marketing team. Otherwise, we feel like we're just falling short or falling behind. So ever since we started that, we've been able to really see things like Facebook, things like Instagram, that one other thing called Twitter, things like that really just take off. And then just recently we partnered with RP Digital, and that's even opened my eyes even more to just the absolute opportunities out there that we can take advantage of. You know, you can't even start to understand some of the things that you can really get into on the internet, but just the Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff alone right there is huge.
Can we talk about the mailer programs? I know you both use them. Mm-hmm. I was blown away the first time I sat with some of the RP Digital people. Mm-hmm. And I sat down with them, and they're talking about URLs, and they're talking about the number of years mm-hmm. that people in this zip code mm-hmm. average living in a home. And I'm going through all this, and I'm going, this is amazing. This is Google on steroids.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the knowledge that just from what people can grasp, and I don't mean clandestinely, but just what you can find out on the web helps you market a product. And actually, you're doing a good thing because you're providing a great service to that homeowner mm-hmm. or home buyer.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, what's it going to take, having said all that, to finally reach through that wall that seems to be the millennial generation? They got scared by watching their parents say, we've lost the value in our home, Jimmy. You can't have that new Mustang for your 16th birthday. Or we're going to lose the house. Mm-hmm. Or the next door neighbor having to move away because of a foreclosure. My generation never saw that.
Right.
If somebody was foreclosed upon in a city as big as Kansas City, we'd go, on a terrible, the foreclosure notice in the paper had, 20 items this year. What are you talking about? Right. We're talking about thousands of people were foreclosed upon.
Sure.
So how do we get those millennials of the mindset that the only person they're making rich through renting is a landlord?
Sure.
Right.
And that every payment they make is a negative out of their financial world. We only have about 3 minutes to spend. That seems to be, to me, a major, major problem.
To be honest, it's just keeping a positive message out there and being in front of them via Facebook, via Instagram, and showing them that houses are selling, that market is increasing, that, yes, we took a hit years ago. However, that's a hit unlike, no other. So, but we have bounced back, and it's something that, I think Robert Palmer posted something yesterday about this, maybe even today, just breaking down the difference between owning a home and being a renter.
Yeah.
And showing how, I want to say, I don't know if you remember seeing this, Matt, but something about $233,000 a homeowner would make over the course of a certain amount of years over what a renter would.
Mm-hmm. When I read that post that Robert put out, it floored me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The difference, when you're looking at real numbers, 5 digits, 6 digits, mm-hmm. and you're saying, wait a minute, how can that be?
Right.
But it's true.
Right.
Well, gosh, Matt, I think you can open some light to this. I'm even seeing younger people now looking to purchase their first rental property to start making income versus buying their first home.
Yeah, absolutely. I just actually helped somebody out. They purchased their first home when they were 24, probably a little bit ahead of the curve for the average, I would say. But they were able to sell that home. They had enough equity in it that they could invest inside a rental property, which is a little unique because you don't see, that age group thinking in that manner. So you're absolutely right, Tony. That's definitely becoming more popular along millennials.
Yeah, I just got that phone call a couple of days ago. Yeah. What should I do, Tony? Should I buy a rental property first, or should I go for our primary residence? And I said, well, what type of primary residence are you looking for? And what they explained was just something out of their reach at this point. So they decided to go the route of buying a rental property, making some return on their investment, and then using that to eventually get the house that they love. And that's exactly the route they took. So, and those are millennials. Those are young, people that mm-hmm. they found us on social media, and they're pretty excited about it. So,
hey, I want to thank you guys so much for shedding all the light you have. One, I want to ask you all back for future discussions.
Absolutely.
Featured guest and also our backup guest. And I call him our second voice as we move down the couch mm-hmm. here on the afternoon show that we're lovingly calling Real Prospector, which is actually a 24-hour show. So, guys, contact information one more time.
Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, Matthew Hodge, and my contact phone number is 407 962 1-800-926-9099. My website is mhodgerealty.com.
Thank you all again. You go ahead and give yours now, Tony.
Yeah, it's KG Realtor Group. My name is Tony Galarza, and the phone number is 407-429-2040, and web address is www.kgrhomes.com.
Wow, we have learned a lot. Another great lesson coming your way, courtesy of Real Prospector Radio and, of course, the RP family of companies and RP Funding.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you.